Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we thank the Lord for 20 years now. We have been bringing these messages to you, and we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, we're going to be talking about dealing with violence in America, and violence especially related to persecution of Christians. And this is in response to the assassination of Charlie Kirk a week ago. And so this is going to be an important message, something that's been on my heart. I've been praying the last week what to say, how to speak. And so the Lord has given me this message, not just in relation to this event, but in relation to our place on the earth as Christians, what to expect and what we can know as the Word of God speaks about this. Jesus spoke about it, and so this is what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bible there, turn it to Matthew chapter 5. Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update. What's going on here in Kenya? We've been having a lot of rain. The short rain season has started, and we've been having rain about every other day. So we're planting a lot. We have about 3 acres we're planting, working by hand, planting mostly vegetables. And we have some maize and beans, but a lot of vegetables for the children to eat. And so that is a big enterprise going on right now. Want to share with you, we want to build a school there in Makunda Village, right next to the children's home. We have 2 acres of land. And so we want to build a primary school there so the children will have a good basic education, not just the children at the children's home, but we're going to open it up to the village children, many of a different faith. And so we're going to teach them the ABCs, give them a good basic foundation in education, and at the same time, give them the basics of the gospel, teach them Bible stories so that they will know that Jesus Christ is the reason for our ministry. Jesus Christ is the reason for the school. And so this is going to be a great project and will help keep many young people, many children in Makunda in school through grade 8. So if you think you'd be interested in that project, we're asking the Lord for $300,000 to build that school. And so I know it's going to be built. We just need some people to step up. There's some people listening to me today. You can help. And so contact me if you think you can help with that project, pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com. And we'll talk about that project, the details, and get you involved. Well, today we're going to be talking about violence in America, dealing with violence in specifically in relation to Christians and how we're persecuted and how violence affects our walk with the Lord, how it affects our witness, our testimony. And so in the days ahead, this is going to be an even bigger subject, I believe. And so this is in response to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I wasn't a big follower of Charlie Kirk. I'd seen him on TV a few times, but I wasn't a big follower, not because of his message, but it just wasn't on my radar screen because I have a lot of other stuff going on. But in the days ahead, there will be persecution of Christians. You're already starting to see it. For the most part, Americans have been a bit immune from any kind of persecution. There's been some over the years, and it's increasingly becoming a factor in a Christian's life in America. But I believe in the days ahead, it's going to be an even greater factor. And so we need to be aware of it. We need to be aware of what Jesus said about it, what Jesus told the disciples about persecution coming in their life. And it turned out to be true. Every single warning that he gave the disciples turned out to be true. The prophecies he spoke over them about persecution turned out to be true in their life. And so also with us, it will be true. And so if you have no persecution in your life at this point in time in your Christian walk, you need to analyze and ask yourself, are you really giving your best for Jesus Christ? Are you really going out and proclaiming the gospel? Because if you have no persecution and no division in your life between yourself and the world or people that believe in the systems of the world and the teachings of the world, then you have to wonder, are you really speaking the words of Jesus, and is your life really a testimony to your walk with Jesus Christ? And so you need to pray, ask the Lord to show you where you can be an effective witness, where you can give your testimony. It may just be with your immediate family. It may be the Lord will launch you into some kind of ministry. But when you step out and actually minister to the world, minister to the lost, minister to the broken, and even to the enemies of the gospel, you will suffer persecution. I think back to the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, and one of the reasons that people fall away from the word of truth, from the word of the gospel, is because the persecution that comes, and this is a stony soil, the persecution that comes causes them to drop away. And so the seed that's planted in the stony soil produces no lasting fruit, and the people fall away. They hear the truth of the gospel. They start to grow a plant. The plant starts to make a root and starts to make a fruit, but it doesn't last because people cannot tolerate, they can't handle the persecution from their friends, from their family, and so they drop away and they produce no fruit for the kingdom of God. Well, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about persecution for the first time, and this is the Sermon on the Mount, one of the great passages in the Bible, in the New Testament, about the Sermon on the Mount. This sermon, if you read it through, you can read it in about 10 or 15 minutes. Covers many subjects: prayer, fasting, and forgiveness, and the persecution Jesus brings up here in Matthew 5:10. He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you," or revile means speaks hate against you or speaks vicious language against you. Revile you is that they hate you and they want to harm you in some way, not just necessarily with speech, but even going beyond that, to revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, Jesus says, verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so Jesus is saying that when you get persecuted, when you get reviled, when people curse you, when people curse the message that you are speaking, then they're going to hate you. And a lot of the people that you see making public proclamations about what a great thing it was for Charlie to be assassinated, and they're having joy for him to be silenced and joy for his message to be silenced, all of that is coming from the devil. And Jesus says, you're going to get it when you speak out. And Charlie went right into the devil's den. He went right onto the college campuses where there's so much of this perversion and wickedness being taught. And young people are being brainwashed and they're being told about things that go completely counter to the message of the gospel. And so primarily I'm thinking of in sexual orientation and all this type of stuff. And it turns out in this situation that that's a big factor in the indoctrination and brainwashing of this Tyler Robinson, the alleged killer of Charlie Kirk. And so when you speak into the world and the systems of the world and the systems of the enemy and the hatred of the enemy, then they're going to accuse you of speaking hate speech. They're going to accuse you of being a man full of hate and full of viciousness yourself. In other words, they'll turn the tables on you. And so Jesus said, verse 12 again, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And many of the prophets were killed for their message. Many of the prophets even today are not necessarily killed physically, but they're canceled, and all kinds of vile and vicious attacks are made on them. And so Jesus said, you're going to be in the same category when you get to heaven. You're going to be in the same reward that the prophets received and the martyrs received. And Charlie Kirk was definitely, in my view, a Christian martyr, because most of what he was speaking was based on the Bible. He could quote scripture all day long from Genesis to Revelation. He was very well grounded in the Bible, and he never spoke on a campus or to any other group of people without quoting scripture to them. And so he was, in my view, a Christian martyr. He is a Christian martyr. He died because he was bringing the message of the gospel to current events, to current social, cultural situations here in America. And that's what riled up the enemy so much. And even the text messages that have been revealed by the FBI and other law enforcement, text messages reveal that this alleged killer wanted to silence Charlie because he said, "I can't handle the hate any longer. Some hate can't be negotiated." And so he silenced Charlie because he didn't want to hear the message of the gospel, what Jesus had to say about his social cultural situation. Well, Matthew 10:34, Jesus talks about division that the word of God brings into any situation. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." That is a sword to cut and divide. A sword is, as you know, a sharp instrument. The word of God is quick and powerful. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the word of God cuts. When you speak the word of God over people, especially people who are trapped in sin and don't want to repent, people who are prideful about their sin, and you think about the word pride, and it's associated with a group of people that is very prideful about their rebellion towards God, very prideful about their sin. They openly flaunt it everywhere they go, for the most part, parades and all kinds of other stuff. And so that pride is cut by the word of God. And that word of God can separate between the soul and the spirit, because these demonic attachments, these demonic agreements that people make, they attach to the soul, they affect the soul. They become soul blemishes. They become pollution that pollutes and defiles the soul. And so the word of God comes in and it separates between the soul and the spirit, because the spirit is still wanting to communicate with God. God communicates to our spirit. And so the word of God then comes in and it separates, just like a sharp sword. And so Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace on the earth." Well, that isn't a contradiction to the words that Jesus said when he said, "My peace I give unto you." He's in that situation, in that scripture, that's in John 14:27. "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Jesus is talking about personal peace in that situation, in that scripture. Personal peace is the peace that comes when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, because we know he is the way, the truth, and the life, and we know then that we have a destiny, that we have a calling, we have a purpose here on the earth. We have a place to go when we're finished here on this earth, even if it's some kind of death, as Charlie's death, it's a violent death. We still know that we're going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ. And so the peace that we have when you know Jesus, all of the anxiety, the turmoil, the anxiousness that comes from daily living, the peace of God, the peace of Jesus will settle your heart about all that anxiety and all the questions you have about your life. You will be in the will of God. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. It's not to harm you, but to prosper you. It's to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. So when you have those plans in your heart and you understand the plan of God for your life, you can have peace, you can have joy, you can have everlasting peace that goes beyond this earth and what you're doing here on this earth. And so Jesus said, I didn't come to bring the kind of peace that you're looking for, cultural peace, national peace, worldly peace. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring that. And if you look on the world scene, there's definitely a division in the world scene between nations and between groups of people. We have it here in Kenya, great animosity between groups of people built around tribal identity, cultural tribal identity. And so that is what disrupts peace here in Kenya, disrupts peace even here in local villages, local towns. I see it here in the town I live in here in Kenya, because it's 50% one religion, 50% Christianity. And so there's a lot of animosity that comes. And Jesus said, my word divides, my word separates. And verse 35 in Matthew 10, Jesus said, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. And so even within individual families, individual households, there will be animosity, there will be separation, there will be division, and the Word of God and Jesus Christ's sword separates even within a family. Those of you who are born again believers, you know the truth of that. Many of you have prayed diligently and with great perseverance. You prayed for your children because they're lost, they're prodigals, and some of them are even in wayward lifestyles that are very sinful, using drugs or sexual immorality of different kinds. And so we know that within families, the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, separates and divides. And so that gives us reason to be diligent in prayer. And when you pray for your family members that are lost, when you pray for your family members that are prodigal, you know that God honors that prayer. So don't give up. You keep praying. You keep asking God to send His angels to interrupt their life, to arrest their life, to bring them back to the place of the gospel. And if you taught them when they were children, you can be assured they will come back to that. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that they shall go, and when they're older, they shall not depart from it. And so they will come back to that place. Just as the prodigal came back, he found himself eating with the pigs and living with the pigs. And he said, I need to go back to my father. The Bible says when he came to himself, when he came to his own senses, he said, I need to go back to the father. I'm in a place here with the pigs, and I want to go back to the father, to the place that he had been taught when he was a little child. Well, the second point I want to make is that the message of the gospel will be considered by some to be hateful. And this is because they don't want to acknowledge their sin. They don't want to recognize that the gospel is speaking to their sin. And so they turn the tables and say, you're speaking hate towards me. You're speaking hate towards my life. And so the message of the gospel will always be considered hateful by some who are trapped in sin. John 15, verse 18, the world hates you. These are also the words of Jesus. The world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, then the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And so Jesus is warning his disciples again, just like back in Matthew. The world is going to consider you to be a hate monger. The world is going to say you're just spewing hate if you're preaching the gospel. Jesus would, they will always say this, Jesus wouldn't do that. He wouldn't preach hate, or he hung around with sinners. Well, Jesus didn't actually hang around with sinners to be sinners with them. He didn't hang around wasting his time just so he could be with the sinners. He was there to witness the word of God. He was there to witness to them the righteousness that he himself had. He was there to witness to them of the lifestyle that they had, that they needed to come to the Lord and confess their sins. When the people caught the lady in adultery, they brought her to Jesus and they were ready to stone her. The men were ready to stone her. Jesus said, I don't condemn you, neither do I condemn you, because he asked the men, who condemns this woman? Who wants to throw the first stone? And none of them would step forward and throw the first stone. And so Jesus said to the woman, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. And so Jesus' final point in everybody's life is that he wants to bring people to a place of righteousness so their life honors God, so their life brings glory to God, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. So no matter what sin we have, no matter what sin gets exposed in our life or gets recognized by others or even admitted by ourselves, the blood of Jesus can cleanse that sin and bring you to a place of righteousness, not our own righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags, but our righteousness can be made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world is going to hate you. And verse 20, John 15, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. When you serve Jesus Christ and you say, I want to serve Jesus, I want to make him not only my Savior, but the Lord of my life. And when you say you want to make him the Lord of your life, that means you're willing to follow him and to keep his commandments. The Bible says in 1 John that those who say they love Jesus must keep his commandments. If you say you love Jesus and you don't keep his commandments, your life shows that you don't care about keeping his commandments. The Bible says that you are a liar. And so we keep Jesus' commandments because he is our Lord and he is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, his blood has made the payment, but we can't just live any way we want. We can't just live because we have grace and make an open shame of Jesus Christ or put shame on him by the way we live. And so we have to attempt to live as a righteous person, just as Jesus was holy. We have to make an attempt to live a holy life. Well, verse 20 again, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, in other words, what I taught them, they will attempt to be obedient to that word. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And so when you're speaking and preaching in the word of God and you're teaching the precepts, the concepts, line upon line, order upon order, when you're teaching that to others, then Jesus said, if they kept my word, in other words, if they were obedient to my word, they will be obedient to your word. Because when you speak the word of God, beloved, when you're teaching, preaching, or speaking as I'm doing today over the radio, the word of God has the same power coming out of my mouth as it did out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. And so when people get the knowledge of the gospel, they no longer have an excuse for their sin. They can't hide any longer. They can't hide their sin because they are convicted by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, after I came and told them, then now they have no excuse for their sin. And so sometimes people, when they're exposed, they lash out, just as we've seen in the last couple of weeks. They lash out and they try to take vengeance and silence the voice of God, silence the word of God. And so that is the result that we are dealing with today. Well, we're going to talk more about this next week. I hope you enjoy these messages. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We're in our 20th year, and we praise God for all the prayers and support. Today, if you'd like to support this ministry, keep these radio messages coming, and also support the many projects we have going here in Kenya and Africa, we invite you to do that. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down today, write out a check, let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests. If you have prayer requests, send it to Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Or you can go to PayPal, use your debit or credit card, paypal.me/gatheroutcasts. That's paypal.me/gatheroutcasts. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Jim Rao, to see pictures of our projects and ministry here in Africa. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.